The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org. It's never too early to start making plans for Earth Day. On today's episode of the Nonprofit Happy Hour, we talk with Lloyd Eco District about the organization's work to make the Lloyd District one of Portland's most sustainable neighborhoods and where you can find them on April 22nd.
This is Phil Bossi. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour. As a lead up to Earth Day, we've been talking to some community leaders, and in particular, some of the leaders that are helping with the districts around the city and helping them make them more sustainable. Today, we're joined by the Outreach Program Manager, Joshua Baker, who works with the Lloyd Eco District. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. You?
Good, good. Hey, so I'm going to just start with the your stated vision is to ensure that Portland's Lloyd neighborhoods, one of the most sustainable neighborhoods in North America. That's a big goal.
It definitely is. And one, we have a lot of things to do to get there as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask two questions on that. Like, one, how's it going? And two, how do you measure that it's one of the most sustainable neighborhoods?
Yeah. Well, our organization started about a decade ago through stakeholders in the district who were eager to transition the Lloyd over time into a neighborhood that's recognized for sustainable features and sustainable buildings. And we still have a lot of work to do. There's things that we've made progress with out of the neighborhood wide. In Portland, for example, our built environment has amongst the lowest energy use intensity in the city in terms of how those are measured through energy usage in our larger buildings. So we go ahead and we track that annually across the district in all of our large buildings and partner with an organization to do a comprehensive report about, like, here's where we are and here was trajectory of where we want to go. We are still maybe a long ways away from being the most sustainable neighborhood in North America as a whole, but we have a roadmap and a plan laid out in different roadmaps that we've done. We actually just finished a 2030 roadmap as part of our international eco district certification process, where we outline goals and objectives and indicators across 32 different categories that we are just getting started on, and that will hopefully help continue our path as we transition our neighborhood into a more dense and sustainable community with a low carbon impact.
Yeah, I want to talk about that roadmap in a moment, but first let's talk about the actual geographic map. Lloyd District, what does that mean? That means south to the Banfield, I-84, right?
Correct. Yeah. So our border is the highway to the south, so 84, and we go west until we hit the river. And then our northern boundary is more or less Broadway and Wheatler, sometimes a little bit more north of that, one or two blocks in certain areas. And then we go east as far as about 17th Street. So that includes we include everything from the convention center and the Moda Center to a variety of different hotels, an continuing increasing number of residential multifamily buildings, and of course, the Lloyd Center.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting sort of very thin rectangle, sort of, you know, and I was surprised to think of the Lloyd District as reaching all the way out to the river, and because that brings in some additional opportunities and challenges, as well as then placing Moda Center in there. There's a lot of diversity in what is happening in that zone.
Definitely. And even more to come in the future. We're proud to follow and support the work that Albina Vision Trust is doing, sort of more around the MoDA Center and lower Albina area, which is part of the our area as well, as they work to sort of transform that area over the coming decades themselves into an area of Black wealth. But the river is part of us. We occasionally partner with groups like Human Access Project to do small cleanups or events. Duckworth Dock is part of our neighborhood. And we have goals as well as part of a long-term goal to create more opportunities around outdoor recreation, especially related to health and well-being. So we hopefully see the river as part of that opportunity as well.
I'm going to pick apart the zone just a little bit more, if you don't mind, because obviously Lloyd District, one of the first associations, has to be the Lloyd Center, which that's a tough uphill battle with public perception, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's the Lloyd Center has definitely taken a hit over the last not just few years, but going back many years now. And the future of the space is unclear. Our office is actually there, so I'm there many days during the week. And the last year, it's been interesting to see how it's become starting to be more of a site for local independent shops, from Floating World Comics to record stores to other stores starting to move in and also hosting things like the Portland International Film Festival, and now an international mural festival that's going on as well until June. But they definitely have their struggles. There's a lot of vacant spaces and a lot of land that's maybe not being used, definitely in the most sustainable fashion as well. We are continuing to follow along with what the mall and sort of the redevelopers called Urban Renaissance Group are planning to do. And we are going to advocate definitely to on issues around increasing green space there, increasing connectivity, and potentially increasing housing. And we do, like I said, there are these small businesses that are also have been moving in and quite an interesting number. And we want to make sure that whatever is happening is also supporting them in the future as well.
Is the magic store still there? I was there maybe a year ago. It was actually, they have good magic shows.
Yeah, the magic store is still going. You can come on in and they have shows that they put on and just lots of interesting gifts and stuff there that you can get. I think it's All American Magic, I think is the name of the store.
But certainly, I mean, the Lloyd Center itself could be a game changer, and that has, I would think that has, would have you all excited for, if you're going to be optimistic about all of this, that could really turn that whole district.
Yeah, we are, it seems like with the new redevelopers now being involved as of last winter, in Urban Renaissance Group, that they are, they are also a Northwest-based firm. A lot of the previous firms that have been involved with the mall have been all Texas or other parts of the country based. So hopefully they have it sounds like they have a better pulse on sort of the needs of our community, the needs of the region as well. That space can be used very differently. And we hope someday it is, and is also continue and sort of becomes again, also like a center of community, of a place where people do want to go and feel safe going to as well.
I'm going to keep moving through the district a little bit, and the MoDA Center is obviously a beehive of activity. I wonder about if there's any tie-ins to the Green Sports Alliance. Now, it's maybe not known very much, but like the Blazers were at the forefront of helping to make major sports more sustainable. Is there any tie-in with your organization and with that, or is that just sort of two rivers flowing together?
We are not directly affiliated with Green Sports Alliance. I think we've had some limited sort of sponsorship or meetings in the past. But with the MoDA Center and the Trailblazers organization, yes. They have been, really were one of our founding board members when it came down to it as a stakeholder. And they've been on our board or been driving programs like our Lloyd Eco District Action Forum, where building managers or stakeholders across the district can share best practices around energy use and waste usage. We're looking to continue to build upon that. We just actually have someone from their sustainability department is joining our board this week, actually. So we're really excited to have them on board and leverage some of their expertise, particularly on a low waste side. They are amongst the leaders in that movement for large events. So we look forward to building upon their expertise.
Awesome. Well, one more thing about the region, and then we can talk about the roadmap. But I just obviously the Earl Blumenauer bike bridge that just went in. But it's interesting to think about that zone, and I imagine that you do to some extent as a bike zone. But when you really do start to focus in on it, you realize that now, especially with that bike bridge over 84. With the going all the way down to the waterfront, it really does have some pretty great bikes.
Yeah, that bridge serves a few different purposes. One, it's a resilient bridge that will serve as a connector to the neighborhood in case of a major disaster. But we see it as a key part of our infrastructure to support Lloyd in our transition away from a vehicle-centric approach. And I don't have the exact numbers on me, but it's always, we love being part of that project as it's been developed. We're in part of a mural project. If folks have seen the giant mural and the building across for it that has a lot of pollinator and transportation elements, we're excited by that. We're also excited about expanding what we call a pollinator corridor there. In another part of the neighborhood along Northeast Multnomah, we're part of a core group of people who added planters to create a semi-protected bike lane along there, which is the first sort of what we call pollinator bikeway in the country. And we have plans. Things don't always move too quickly, but we definitely have plans to work with the Bureau of Transportation in the future to expand that corridor or expand opportunities to have a bikeway more safely protected along Northeast 7th or along Northeast Lloyd, stemming from the bridge.
Joshua Baker is Outreach Program Manager for Lloyd Eco District. You know, and speaking about pollinators seems like a good setup for the song that you brought in. Do you want to introduce that song?
Yeah, the song is Honey by Glitter Fox. The song itself, I must say, doesn't have actually too much to do with pollinators and honey, but just maybe have a connotation. I chose them. They're a local band that's really started to get steam in the last couple of years, and as a very local focused nonprofit, we thought it'd be a good one to show off here today.
Fantastic. Excited to take a listen.
Go ahead. Blame it all on me. Read them all. List of my felonies. There you are, standing right next to me. But you're so far, so far, so far, so far. Every word goes in the recycling. Rinse them off, ready to be used again. Talk to me like you talk to your friends. But it's so hard, so hard, so hard, so hard. Honey, be kind. Thank you.
This is Phil Bussi. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour. Part of our lead up to Earth Day, we are meeting with different civic leaders, community leaders who are doing great work, especially with large districts in the city. And Joshua Baker is the outreach program manager for the Lloyd Eco District, which is a massive district, really, that spans river to Northeast 17th and then north of I-84. And encompasses a lot of different economies and purposes. And maybe that's a good start for the second half of our conversation here, is what's the role of eco and what's the role of economics in what you have to do in this district or what you need to do?
Yeah. And I mean, they're intertwined in part of our history. I think when we first started our organization about a decade ago, we were pretty dramatic, pretty laser focused on sustainability through like an economic development lens and sort of who is and when thinking about things like waste, energy reduction, carbon reduction, particularly focused on the built environment for the larger buildings in the district. And while that's still a big focus of us over a decade, our mission has expanded and who we think of when it comes to sustainability and who are we thinking the neighborhood is sustainable for, that's also broadened as well. So when we are planning our next 10-year roadmap or our 2030 roadmap, we have a variety of metrics and goals, and some are very much focused towards economic development in the built environment. So things like working on anything from lighting retrofits that will reduce carbon and save energy for buildings, to ranging from things like how are we supporting our houseless neighbors at Right to Dream 2, or how are we supporting and encouraging a small local businesses to grow up. So it's it ebbs and flows a little bit, maybe on the project of the month that we're focusing on. But we are trying to keep all those in mind, and really with a centered lens, though, of equity and resiliency overall.
Yeah, let's talk about some specifics from that 2030 roadmap. What is the most achievable goal on that, and what's the most outrageous goal?
I think some of the most achievable goals overall for us probably center around some of the placemaking opportunities, increasing the amount of murals and public art in the district. It's something that we've had some experience with, and people love to support that type of work too. And we do know there's a lot of opportunities, whether it's vacant walls that are being tagged with graffiti and being repainted over constantly, or right-of-way spaces that could use some love and management overall. So that's something we've seen a lot of interest in, and something that we are already ahead of our roadmap, I think, in the number of projects we've worked on in the last year since the roadmap was established.
Just make that connection for me between murals and an eco district.
Yeah. So part of what comes into a sustainable neighborhood in long term is things like quality of life and connection to neighborhoods and connection to spaces. And we know right now that Lloyd, it doesn't always feel like it has that, especially if you are a person living in the neighborhood overall. We do have a lot of parking lots or a lot of large buildings that maybe don't feel welcoming or just aren't welcoming, to be honest. So we know that if we want the neighborhood to be sustainable and vibrant and sort of that quality of life and that experience of life and connecting to neighbors, that we do need these spaces that people want to go to and hang around with and build bonds and build resilience overall.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. And so now let's talk a little bit more about maybe some of the more ambitious goals for 2030. What are some of the more ambitious or the more difficult to reach?
Yeah. I think there's some stuff that we have under our control more, and some that are going to take a lot of people and a lot of things to happen. We have goals around increasing the housing supply in the district overall, for example. And we are a small nonprofit. I am one of two full-time people. And we do not have that, like, we are not going to be leading a housing development project ourselves or anything like that. But we are going to work hard to advocate for projects that do increase density and increasing housing to the neighborhood. I think some other programs we're really excited about that maybe will take some time and we're hoping to have done by 2030, though, is community garden spaces in the district. This was a common thing that we were hearing from residents, particularly residents who are maybe living in the larger multifamily buildings or the older adults or retirement facility buildings as well, is desiring spaces like this. And one, it is finding those spaces and getting long-term lease agreements where we can tear up the pavement like an organization like DePave does and replace, or finding a roof that can work from an irrigate, from a water supply standpoint and a liability standpoint. So those are stuff that we're really excited to get started, but maybe a lift in our neighborhood.
And so like Peace Park, talk to me about that.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit more like 1970s Berkeley than Lloyd Center, 21st yes. century.
Peace Memorial Park is a small green space located at the, connected to the East Bank Esplanade and right by the Steel Bridge in the Oregon Convention Center. If you biked or walked along there, you've probably gone through it and not know you were actually going through it. It is a space that, while it has park in its name, it's actually managed by the Bureau of Transportation, which we have they do a lot of great things at PBOT, but managing green spaces is maybe not on their main list of to-dos overall. And about a decade or so ago, an organization called Veterans for Peace sort of saw this vacant sort of green right-of-way space, and they designed it as a memorial to peace. So if you're looking from above, you actually see a peace symbol in it. Unfortunately, over the years, their members who gave a lot of time and effort to this garden either got older or more dispersed and were maybe not able to spend as much time on this, and the park went a little wild overall. So we got involved a few years ago to first just like help sort of maintain it, help with a few cleanups. And that's really transitioned into a much larger project, partnering with them, the remaining Veterans for Peace chapter and others, that are like, what can we do long-term to actually restore this park, repair things like irrigation, plant native pollinators, and tell a more comprehensive story of the space of that area, both encompassing peace, but things like habitats, and as part of the Lower Albina historic neighborhood as well. So we've been busy in the last few years just continuing to do some of the basic maintenance, like regular cleanups and mowing the yard and doing some visioning, working with a landscaping firm called Place, and doing fundraising. And now we're at the point where we're working with the city to hopefully get some permission to start doing some of the construction work at it overall, which is its own bureaucratic process and timetable. But yeah, we are continuing to clean up. So we actually have one with Earth Day Oregon, with our Earth Day Oregon business partner, Way of Being, on April 21st, that we'd love to have people come to.
Yeah, and that was going to be my last question, is how can people get involved? But that sounds like a great place to send people on the 21st to help clean up. I mean, that is a very busy park, or I guess I never really realized it was a park, even though I've biked through it hundreds of times.
Yeah. So on the morning of Friday, April 21st, we'll be doing a park cleanup and a neighborhood cleanup. So we'll be doing anything from picking up trash to painting over graffiti, to probably doing some mowing and removing invasive blackberries that tend to pop up along there as well. And we're proud to have Way of Being, which is a tenant in the Lloyd Center Mall. They are a local business, a small business that is dedicated to low waste sort of lifestyles and ethically sourced products. And they'll be donating some reusable low waste items for volunteers there that morning.
Wonderful. Joshua Baker is Outreach Program Manager for Lloyd Eco District. So great to hear about all the work that's been done. I'm excited to see what happens over the next few years as you guys work through the 2030 roadmap. And thank you for taking time today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
The Nonprofit Happy Hour is made possible by Beneficial State Bank, a certified B Corp, that holds to what it calls a triple bottom line of social justice, environmental well-being, and economic sustainability. If your organization or business is interested in underwriting our show, please email phil@mediamakingchange.org. The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a production of the Media Institute for Social Change and KXRY Radio, X-Ray FM. Our host is Phil Bussey. Our executive producer and editor is me, Carly Meisberger. Archives of past shows can be found on our SoundCloud page. Questions, comments, or ideas about the show can be sent to info@mediamakingchange.org. Thanks for tuning in.